On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball is elite once more, baseball sweeps Missouri in dramatic fashion, and G.G. Jackson makes his decision. Okay, here we go. To episode 143 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what's up, Gamecock Nation? How was your weekend? It was a serious weekend. It was packed, jam-packed with Carolina action. But then men's NCAA tournament was truly madness as the Final Four rounded out into shape. I mean, FAU, who the hell would have thought that was happening? Not me, the guy who had them losing in the first round, the college basketball guru that I am. But nevertheless, it was a very fun and exciting weekend. I hope y'all were able to rest, recharge, party, live it up, whatever you decided to do. I hope y'all had fun doing it. I'm here to recap the entire weekend with y'all. A lot of baseball action. The Cardiac Cocks were in full effect. And then the women's basketball team, of course, continuing their deep run into March as well. I will recap that game and preview their next game. But let's start with a weekend recap with news and notes from around other sports at USC. Starting with the men's basketball program. Another roster update here for y'all. This one surrounding G.G. Jackson as he has declared for the NBA draft. In what may have been the most casual way to do so ever. I mean, shout out G.G. Jackson. This kid is awesome. He was just on Instagram Live chilling. Like, I think he was like brushing his teeth. And I guess someone asked him in the chat, what are you doing next year? And he was just like, yeah, a lot of people are asking me that. So I'm declaring for the draft. And that's about it. And I swear, I think he like just finished brushing his teeth. He wasn't even looking at the camera. Definitely like getting ready in some fashion to go out. So that's how he had announced it. There's no graphic or notes app or anything that I've seen. So shout out G.G. Jackson. Congrats on the announcement. This is not really the most surprising bit of news. I think we all thought this was really just a matter of time. I think from the moment he committed to South Carolina, as exciting as it was, I think we knew this was a one-year, one-and-done type of deal. He is that talented. He has that much of a high ceiling that come in, hone your skills a little bit for a year, learn a little bit, develop a little bit, and then take your talents to the next level. I think it's a fair assumption that he's a first-round pick. I don't know if he's quite in the lottery, maybe that back half of the lottery type deal, but nevertheless, I want to say thank you to G.G. Jackson. Shout out to him. He brought some pretty cool moments. I mean, just having him on our team in general, having that type of spotlight is not something we get a lot at USC, having these top-tier recruits coming to us. Hopefully, he is the first of many. So, thanks for staying home, GG. Thanks for choosing Carolina. Thanks for the memories. Going to be following you in the NBA and wish you nothing but success. And to any other recruits that want to come to USC, just following GG's steps. But that was the news from the basketball program over the weekend. Let's look at some scores now for y'all. Looking back at Friday, women's tennis beat Ole Miss 6-1. Men's tennis lost to Auburn 4-2. 4-3. And then Equestrian, we're talking Equestrian, that's right. They lost to Auburn 13-7. So shout out women's tennis there. And then on Saturday, beach volleyball had two games. They beat Houston Christian 5-0 and then beat Arizona State 4-1. That feels impressive. I don't know much about Arizona State basketball, or beach volleyball rather, or basketball, but I would imagine they have a lot of people that just play volleyball 24/7 in Arizona. So to beat them, that feels like an accomplishment. And then Equestrian unfortunately lost to Georgia 15-5. Now Sunday, a lot of events were canceled or postponed. There was some nasty weather in Columbia on Sunday, so that was really all the scores I got to report for y'all. So let's turn the focus to baseball here. The Gamecocks welcomed SEC play back to Founders Park for the first time this season. And boy, did they start things with a bang and a sweep of the Missouri Tigers, including not one, but two walk-off wins. The Cardiac Cocks were in full effect. This team had a flair for the dramatics this weekend. Never a dull moment. Absolutely fun. But on a serious note, this team showed fight. This team showed fight and grit all series long. They really brought that mentality of just battling and finding ways to win. A lot of the guys talked about just never panicking. That in the dugout, that's sort of their mantra. Just don't panic. Like, things will come to us. And I talked about this a little bit before this series, that you're going to need that edge, that this team has to have that edge constantly. But then also when you're playing at home and you can see that this team wants to defend Founders and they will not go away easily. They do not want to give up. And that's what you've seen from the best Gamecock teams in recent memory, right? Like, these guys took it seriously and they were very, very prideful in playing for the University of South Carolina, and they did not want to let down the home fans and lose in Founders. And I think that that's what you're seeing from this team early this year. That's a difference. I feel like that is a noticeable difference, this mentality, this approach, this never panicking, battling throughout. That feels different, certainly from last year, but maybe the last 2 years, you know, give or take, right? I just see these intangibles from this team that I really, really like. And yes, this is only the second SEC series, but to sweep your first two, and to do one in dominating fashion, like you did against Georgia, but you also had to be a little gritty in one win there, but then to really grind and show toughness in two come-from-behind victories against Mizzou, against the hot Missouri team, too. They came in hot. So very, very impressed with what I'm seeing from this team here. So let me look back at each game for y'all. So game one, Friday night, and maybe no game embodied this grit and tenacity that I'm talking about from this team more so than game one. This really embodied it. Carolina beat Mizzou 9-8 thanks to a 4-run ninth inning to walk it off, being down 3 runs going into that ninth inning. Come back in the ninth and win. Mizzou had a couple of big innings earlier in the game. They got to Will Sanders, but Carolina hung around, and then in the bottom of the ninth, the guys got a rally going, including, you know, benefiting from a wild pitch, and then Caleb Denny, Jonathan French drove in a couple of runs. Michael Money Braswell, yet again, comes up to the plate and is the hero. Michael Money Braswell, what a way for him, the last, you know, couple of weeks or so. I know he had a tough one up in Charlotte, but this game, he comes up, bottom of the ninth, hits a very sharp line drive that kind of ate up the shortstop and threw it, and just bad, bad throwing error, which subsequently allowed the winning run to score, and Carolina ends up with the victory in just truly crazy fashion. Winning on a scoring error, heads up base running, just all things needed to go right there. Austin Williamson was the winning pitcher for South Carolina after a strong top of the ninth for him. A few guys from the bullpen contributed after Will got taken out. Some other player highlights for y'all here. Will McGillis, talk about a night. 2 for 2 with 4 ribbies thanks to a grand slam, a grand salami. Ethan Petrie, going to talk more about him in a bit. He went 2 for 5 with 1 RBI. And Caleb Denny went 1 for 3 with 2 RBI. Then you go to Saturday, which was a doubleheader because of the aforementioned bad weather in Columbia in Sunday. So the first game of Saturday, Carolina just simply dominated, winning 8-1. Noah Hall was brilliant, going 7 innings and striking out 10. Chris Veach and Cade Austin finished things out for the game. Offensively, it was really a steady diet of power hitting from Carolina, led by Evan Stone. Stoney going yard twice, his first 2 home runs of his Carolina career. That was really cool to see. Evan has, frankly, struggled at the plate this year, and to go yard not once but twice is just really, really cool to see. And what was a great game for Carolina. Some player highlights from this game, of course, leading with Evan Stone going 2 for 4 with 3 RBI. Ethan Petrie went 2 for 4 with 2 RBI. And Gavin Cassis, have a day, 4 for 5 with 2 RBI. Which brings me to the second game of Saturday, and which was the finale of the series. The Gamecocks' flair for the dramatics from earlier in the series continued and came right back into this game as Carolina won 5-4 in 12 innings. Got a healthy dose of extra innings there. Mizzou was leading 4-2 pretty late in the game, but Ethan Petrie tied things up in the eighth with a 2-run blast. I got to think of a nickname for this guy. Y'all know me. Y'all know I love my puns and giving guys nicknames, Michael Money Braswell, but Ethan Petrie, he is like Ethan Phenom Petrie, maybe something like that. Dude is just on fire this whole year as a freshman. It's just crazy. The Gamecocks would end up walking it off. They almost walked it off in the ninth, rather. Just came up just short on a long fly out there. So they headed to extras. Eli Jurzenbeck came out of the pen to start the 10th inning, and he just did not have it. He did not have his stuff. I got to be honest, I did not like this move from Mark Kingston turning to him. I understand Jurzenbeck has good stuff, and I know that he's someone that this staff is high on, and they want him to grow up and be able to pitch in big spots, but he got knocked around in the midweek game. So to turn to him in a tie game going into the 10th inning, I don't know. I just did not love the move there, and it showed. He did not have it. He got into a jam, real bad jam, with no outs right away. Looked like this game was going to go the wrong way for Carolina. Matthew Becker gets called in relief, and just with absolute nerves of steel, is able to get out of the jam, getting 3 pop-ups. Ended up earning the win, pitching 3 innings. So he pitched all of extras, Matthew Becker, just a fantastic, gutsy performance. Which brings me to the bottom of the 12th. Will Tippett got on base with a walk and then ended up getting to third base on what was to be a sacrifice bunt, but a throwing error allowed him to get to third, which set up the man of the hour, the man of the series. Ethan Petrie gets the game-winning walk-off single, base hit up the middle, pandemonium at Founders Park. They tackled him, ripped off his shirt, Gatorade bath, the whole nine. Just a fantastic team win here. Player highlights for y'all. Ethan Petrie, man of the hour, 3 for 5 with 3 RBI. Carson Hornung went 1 for 3 with 2 RBI. And Will Tippett went 1 for 4. Up next for the Gamecocks is a midweek game Tuesday against the Citadel in Charleston. But then also, their next series actually starts Thursday against Mississippi State in Starkville. I think Carolina has two of these where the series starts on a Thursday as opposed to a Friday. I don't know why that is. I think it is just two of them, though. So the next episode will fall in a little bit of an awkward stage between where this series is kind of underway, but I still got to preview the rest of the game. So we're just going to pretend that it's kind of not, and we're just going to look at it as a refresher of the series and what Mississippi State has done to this point in the season, and look at it as a preview for the Friday and Saturday games. So let's go, Cox. Kind of a different week here, but very excited for the boys from this last series, and hopefully they can keep it up and roll into Starkville very, very hot. And speaking of a hot team, I don't know if there is one that is hotter than the women's basketball team from the University of South Carolina. Spoiler alert, once again, our women are back in the Elite Eight and are absolutely fantastic. The Gamecocks are headed back to that round after beating UCLA 59-43 Saturday afternoon. That was in the Sweet 16. Both teams got off to a bit of a sluggish start on this one. Neither looked too crisp in the first half. Carolina had a lead going into halftime, though, but it was really in the third quarter where South Carolina woke up and pulled away thanks to a 25-point effort that quarter. But I got to give UCLA credit. I mean, they were hanging around, and they'd hit some big shots. I mean, even when South Carolina had a pretty comfortable lead, I was not taking it for granted at all. They were playing very, very hard. And really, all game long, this was a grind. I mean, you can even see so by the final score. But the Gamecocks were just steady in pounding the paint, using our size advantage to our advantage, really on both ends of the floor, and just dominating in the rebound effort. Everyone tended to get in on it there. Bree Hall and Bree Beal had two nice games to complement, you know, the post players, and just a very solid team effort. And this game showed once again how this team can beat you in a multitude of ways. If it's a grinding type of defensive game like it was, this team is up for the challenge just as much as they are if it's a shootout. So that's what makes this team so deadly. If we're going against a team that wants to slow it down and grind, okay, we can do that. If it's a team that wants to run and shoot, we can do that too. So up next for Carolina is the Elite Eight matchup with a trip to the Final Four on the line. I mean, first off, we got to take a moment. Just what we have seen this year is just truly remarkable. I mean, getting to this point undefeated is remarkable itself. And then just, it's a win streak that dates back deep to last year. I mean, the start of the tournament last year. So really, it's like, what, 41, I think, consecutive wins for this team. It's just truly historic. Any way you slice it, there's only a couple of teams that have made it this far undefeated. And it's just very, very cool and amazing to see really what Dawn Staley has built here and everyone who was on this team this year and laid that foundation before them as well. So what are we looking at here in this matchup? The ladies are taking on the number 2 seed Maryland Terps, a school which, you know, South Carolina fans have found themselves not being fond of lately in the University of Maryland. But in the regular season, Maryland finished the year tied for second in the Big Ten, and so far in the tournament have really cruised, including nearly a 20-point victory over Notre Dame in the Sweet 16. So this is no fluke appearance, and also no fluke ranking for this Maryland team. And the Gamecocks need to come in as locked in as ever, and the fans need to be out in full force. So my crow to the game here is don't let Diamond Miller beat you. right? She does it all for Maryland, leading them in almost every major offensive category. She's one of the more well-known players in all of college basketball, really, women's college basketball especially. So defending her will be a challenge, but Dawn Staley has a few options, right? Dawn Staley has a loaded roster of women she can turn to who can rotate and challenge Diamond well. Bree Beal and Letitia Amy here first come to mind of two players who can match up well against her and try to slow down this Maryland offense, which has really been rolling to this point. But I am so excited. Monday night, let's go. Trip to the Final Four at the line. I am so excited, so grateful for this team. Let's go, Cox. Do whatever you can. Let's go, ladies. But with that, that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go, Cox.